are tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Hello, everyone. How is everyone doing today? I hope that everyone is having a great day today, a great evening. Thank you so much for tuning in today. But this episode that I'm about to do, it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's really hitting home to me. You know what I mean? If y'all have been paying attention this past weekend, what's going on out there in LA and what's going on out there with the ICE raid and, you know what I mean, Donald Trump calling the Marines and stuff like that, right? So, me watching the news, I know a lot of times, especially within this administration, they think that, oh, I'm doing this because my base is going to be happy that I'm doing what I'm doing. That's the mentality that they're thinking, right? But I'm telling you this right now. Just like how black voters transform from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party, I predict that the Hispanic voters, although the last election, it was like 57% of Hispanic people that voted for Kamala Harris. But I think in the future, and mark these words, during the midterms, it's gonna switch, right? Where a lot more Hispanic people will be voting Democrat in the next election, next midterm, and beyond. I really believe that. You know what I mean? Sometimes tragic things have to happen for people to really realize, oh, you know what, these people are on for me. I'm not saying are both parties are for the poor, the black and the brown people, or the poor, the lower middle class people. I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, in life, you got to at least try. If one party not working out for you, try at least with the next party, right? So without further ado, I'm going to talk about a few things, right? Now, and I created, I did this timeline just for a reason, right? I did this timeline for a reason. So now, like I said, back in the 1930s, the New Deal, this was the New Deal and the Black Political Shift Program. So before the 1930s, Black Americans overwhelmingly supported the Republican Party, right? Before the 1930s, because the Republican Party at the time was the party of Lincoln, you know what I mean? Lincoln was the one, as they say, that freed the slaves, right? So Black folks back then was very loyal to the Republican Party. You know what I mean? And as we all know, you know, sometimes I was like scroll through Instagram and scroll through like TikTok, whatever, and I hear some people say, oh, but back then, you know what I mean, the Democratic Party was the party of the KKK. I understand all that. You know, Democrats were the party of the Jim Crow South, the segregation and the white supremacy, right, at that time. So why switch then? Why switch? You know what I mean? It's always, when you see black people or whatever, people, I would say minorities, right, or suppressed people, when you see them switch a party, you know what I mean? I'm going to give an example. So some might, like you might see like a small number. I might say, you know what, though? I'm not with Democratic Party anymore. I'm just going to the Republican Party, right? It always is small increments of numbers, never a big whole number. But whenever there's a switch to a new party, overwhelmingly, it's always because of maybe one person that's probably the most famous person in America, right? Why people would switch to another party, which I will get into that later on, right? So just like I said, the Democratic Party was a party of the Jim Crow. You know what I mean? The Jim Crow South, the segregation, all that crazy stuff. All right? So during the 1930s, of course, the Great Depression devastated the black communities. Unemployment was estimated to be over 50% at that time. This was in the 1930s. Unemployment was estimated to be over 50%. So a lot of black folks couldn't find a job back then. It was hard for them to work to find a job. So guess what FDR did, right? FDR created a New Deal, introduced federal jobs and relief programs that offered some economic hope, right? So he created a part of the New Deal called the WPA and the CCC, right? That hired thousands of black men. So I'm gonna read off what that is, right? So the WPA, Works Progress Administration, and the CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps. So there were two major New Deal programs created in the 1930s during the Great Depression under President Franklin D. Roosevelt. They were part of Roosevelt's effort to combat massive unemployment and economic hardship. So the WPA, right? So the purpose of that was to provide jobs to millions of unemployed Americans through public works projects. So the project, right, include, think about building roads, bridges, schools, post offices, and parks. You know what I mean? To give a lot of people jobs. To ensure people are working so they can be able to take care of their families, right? So they also hired artists, writers, and musicians to program like the Federal Art Project and the Federal Writers Project. So the impact of this program was it employed about 8.5 million people, left a lasting mark on American infrastructure and culture, right? So the Civilian Conservation Corps, right? The CCC, the purpose of this was created in 1933. So to employ young men ages 18 to 25 in conservation and environmental projects. So the projects, right? Planting trees, fighting forest fires, building trails and shelters in national parks. So the erosion control are reforestation and flood prevention. So this program employed over 3 million young men, improved natural resources, and helped to develop the national and state park system, right? So the target population, of course, was unemployed adults, men and women, infrastructure art, public policy. So both programs are seen as key parts of the New Deal. Key parts of the New Deal that employ a lot of people. So aiming not only to reduce unemployment, but to also to rebuild the nation's moral infrastructure. So, right? So when I see these people talking about the Democratic Party was part of the KKK, right? They started the KKK after slavery ended. Got it. I got it. That didn't really happen. But when I hear these people talking, why don't they talk the whole, everything, right? They might have started, but what happened in the 1930s to help these young black men and women, huh? Who created jobs for these young black men and women because of the Great Depression? So now, Social Security initially excluded many black workers, but laid groundwork for future access. And FDR created the black cabinet now. Yeah. Let me tell you about the black cabinet, okay? So FDR created the black cabinet. Hold on a second. Let me tell you what the black cabinet is. Okay, so the purpose of the black cabinet is to advocate for African Americans and to ensure they had access to New Deal programs. So, right, like the Social Security back then, the Social Security, they wanted to give you know, people where you work so hard and, you know what I mean, you're supposed to get your back on Social Security and you're paying your taxes and you're not getting Social Security. So the Black Cabinet was created to combat that. You know what I mean? To combat that. But let's be real about it. Yeah, FDR created it, but it wasn't really fully into it. Because this time, it was like actually the start of the civil rights movement back then, even back in the 1930s, right? You know what I'm saying? It took us out of 20-something years, almost 30 years, for the real civil rights movement to really get active. So despite program discrimination, Black Americans voting for FDR in meaningful numbers. So now, Black Americans, right, voted for FDR in meaningful numbers back in 1930s, right? In 1930, because to see, you know what I mean, that this president, yeah, he might not be, well, you know, back in those days, a lot of those people were racist back then, right? Let's call it real. Let's be real about it. You know what I mean? And he probably did it for political purposes, which he did. But he still did something for them, right? He still did something for them. So back then, in the vote, in 1936, the presidential election back then, Republican in 1936 now got 76% of the Black vote. Think about it. 1936, Republicans got 76% of the Black vote. The Democratic Party, Franklin D. Roosevelt, you know what I mean, got 24% of the Black vote. So in 1936, it was a Republican running for president named Alf Landon against FDR. And FDR got only 24% of the Black vote back then. Right, and later on, I'm telling you, I'm saying all this. They did all of the method to my madness, right? You know what I mean? And we're gonna talk about the Latino community later on. You know what I mean? And how I believe that eventually that they will switch. If you see what's going on right now in LA, the protests in New York, in Chicago, all the places, you know, people are protesting right now. You know what I mean? It's gonna be a shift. It will be a shift in American politics. I guarantee this. I mean, numbers don't lie. So when these politicians thinking that they're doing something big, yeah, but they might be doing something big at the moment, but eventually, what they're doing will hurt their party. It's going to hurt their party. I guarantee that. You know what I mean? They're like, let's be honest, just like Joe Biden, you know, that's why Kamala Harris lost. Because the Democratic Party lied to the American people about Joe Biden. When this new man wasn't fully right, excuse me for being so blunt, but you know his mental acuity was not there probably for the most part. And they'll come on TV and they'll lie like we are dummies, like we can't see what's going on. You know what I mean? At least me, although I vote Democrat, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that I'm always vote Democrat, but at least for now, you know, I'm able to call out my party too. I'm able to call out those people when they messed up. When they messed up. And that's what I want to see more of. Okay. So now, let's fast forward now, 30-some years later. You know what I mean? This topic that I really want to get into. 1960s and Barry Goldwater and the GOP's civil rights backlash. 1960s, okay? Now, back in the 60s, Barry Goldwater, he was probably one of the most famous politicians back then, next to the president, of course, but politician. He was a senator, I think, from Arizona back in the 1960s. And this man was probably the most famous senator. He was a businessman. You know what I mean? He did employ a lot of people. He did employ a lot of Black folks. You know what I mean? But, you know, back then, those Black people were working in his kitchen. They probably never had no good a good leadership position back then, or in a good positions, but probably the housekeepers and the cooks, I guarantee that. All right? So Barry Goldwater represented the rise of conservatism. Just like today, right? The Republican Party is the party of Donald Trump. I don't care what nobody wants to say. The Republican Party today is the party of Donald Trump. The Republican Party is actually being in Donald Trump's image right now. Back in the 1960s, the Republican Party was the party of Barry Goldwater. Although he never became president, he never won the presidency. He ran for president, right? But he never won it. But at the same time, though, sorry about that. But at the same time, oh, goddamn. But at the same time, you know what I mean? He was very popular. Barry Goldwater, very, very, very popular. So, Barry Goldwater, he voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Citing states' right. Sound familiar? Citing states' right. Sound familiar? What do you think this current administration is doing right now? Putting everything back to the states. Not knowing when you do those type of things, a lot of black, a lot of brown people will be impacted depending on where the zip code is. Okay? A lot of black and brown people will be impacted when you put everything solely on the states. And not only putting everything on the states, certain things though, you know what I mean? The states can't just handle it by itself. You know, that's when you need a federal government, right? So his stance aligned with white Southern segregationists. So Barry Goldwater, he wanted everybody, black and whites, to be segregated. He didn't want nothing to do with you or be close to you. Yeah, he put you to work in his kitchen. You know what I mean? Probably for low pay. By far that, no. He wanted segregation. And he made it known publicly. That's what he wanted. He voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Again, citing states' right? I know I said that earlier, but citing states' right. Same thing that's going on today. Pushing things back to the states, right? So Goldwater campaign launched the Southern Strategy. He launched the Southern Strategy, right? Because he still wanted to actually keep his base. Okay? The civil rights leaders denounced him. A lot of civil rights leaders denounced Barry Goldwater. Because think about it, right? Before the 1960s, a lot of black people was voting Republican, right? But before the 1930s, a whole lot more black people was voting Republican, you know? I take one person to stop that nonsense. So the NAACP labeled him an enemy to black progress. And he was an enemy to black progress, right? Just like, I'm gonna tell you something, Elon Musk, right, and Trump. Last week, they were feuding. They had a feud. And some people kind of like what Elon Musk was saying, you know what I mean? Some people were liking it. I'll be reading the comments on TikTok, you know what I mean? But at the same time, though, the man is still the enemy. He's still the dagger enemy. That's all I believe. He's still the enemy. Okay? And look what he did. You know what I'm saying? He tweeted just today alone. You know what I'm saying? June 10th. Right? I left this recording. That he regret what he said. You know what I mean? So, like I said, the NAACP labeled him an enemy to black progress because Barry Goldwater didn't want to see to move forward, you know what I mean, when it comes to black folks. If you go pick up this book, it's called The Loneliness of the Black Republicans, right, by Leah Right Rigor. If you go get that book, man, it actually breaks it down about Barry Goldwater and the type of person he was back then. He really was. You know what I mean? And how I felt, this man was a known racist back in those days. You know what I mean? Because he was against a lot of stuff that could help black people move forward in this country. But he didn't want to see that. You understand me? So a lot of black Americans at the time, too, overwhelmingly supported Lyndon B. Johnson in the response. So think about it, right? Yeah. Black people at one point, like I said, voted mostly Republican. Back before the 30s, even in the 30s, I mean 1936, voted mostly Republican, right? I get it. The Democratic Party was part of the KKK party back then. They started the KKK. Okay. But when things started to really shift is when Barry Goldwater came into the picture. When he came into the picture. Because I really believe if it wasn't for, there are a couple of presidents after him, right? But let me say this. If it wasn't for Barry Goldwater, I believe that a lot more black people would have still been voting Republican back then. You know what I mean? Because let's be honest with you. You know what I mean? The old school Republican. I ain't talking about Republican today because I believe a lot of them are fake. You know what I'm saying? Doing fake outrage. You know what I mean? But the Republican really have, you know what I'm saying? Think about it. A lot more black people are conservative. They really are. A lot of them don't like abortion. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying a lot of black people, you know what I'm saying? I have different, like, when it comes to good, like, I'm not saying the Democrats aren't like that too, but I'm just saying, a lot of people, you can believe, especially if you are a church-going individual, right? You can really stand with the Republican Party. You know what I'm saying? If it's really run right, I have some great leaders who's not going to discriminate and just be fair across the border. I got to be honest with you. The Republican Party could be probably the best party. You know what I mean? I really believe that. It could be. They just need the right damn leaders. I'm just being real with you right now. The right leadership. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't say, say, transgender, you're a Republican person, right? But being gay is a sin. But you're going out there and doing and sinning. I mean, you're a hypocrite. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? You're saying being transgender is a sin. But you don't give a life to Christ. I'm not saying I'm saved. I'm not saying that. But you don't give your life to Christ. But you're talking about this nonsense. You're a damn hypocrite. And that's how I feel. See what I'm saying? So if it's run by the right people and strong, some good, strong leader and the right people who fear across the border, I believe a lot more black people will get behind the Republican Party. That's how I feel. Okay. So like I said, black Americans, right? Overwhelmingly voted for LBJ in response to Barry Goldwater nonsense back then. So let's talk about some numbers real quick, right? So in 1964 presidential election, Democrat Lyndon B. Johnson got 94% of the black vote versus Goldwater, 6% of the black vote. Think about it, right? 6% of the black vote. And back then, all the way up until, I think, until the last presidential election, this is how I feel, right? That wherever black people vote, whatever party they decide to vote, they can always make a shift in their vote, in what's going on politically. So you understand me? If every black people in America, although we are the minorities, right, up until the 2024 election, and we're going to get into that later, but up until the 2024 election, I do believe black folks, though, could really swing. If every single black people in America that's eligible to vote came on and vote, they could have swing the election, you know what I'm saying, their way. Believe that, okay? So, yes, a lot of that on black people, though, you know, 1964, saw Democrat, and that's when it really started for the Democratic Party right there in the 60s. Now, let's fast forward, right? And I chose these decades for a reason. Let's forward to the 1980s. Reagan, the crack epidemic, and urban disinvestment. All right. So before I even get into that, right, let me tell you this. Ronald Reagan, what he did. Okay, in 1963, JFK created, it's called the Community Mental Health Act of 1963. He created that. And what that program was supposed to do, right, the federal government was going to give every state money, right, allocate money for mental health for every state. And each state governor supposed to allocate that money down to every single neighborhood. So every neighborhood should be able to handle their own mental health, because within every community, right, you're gonna know the people basically because that is your community. So that's what the Community Mental Health Act was supposed to do. And guess what Ronald Reagan did when he became president? He got that crap, right? But what he did though, they call it plausible deniability, right? What he did, he put it on another program, right? See what I'm saying? And that program, he wanted to slash. So he put the Community Mental Health Act on another program, and this program that he wanted to slash, and he wanted to slash some money out of the budget. And guess what happened? Yeah, it got cut. Just like what's going on today when it comes to people losing the, if this so-called big, beautiful bill is signed. You know what I mean? A lot of people will. I don't give a damn what that fake speaker Mike Johnson says, right? That big, beautiful bill. People are going to lose their Medicaid, not the Medicare, but the Medicaid. We'll be on the chopping block. But maybe your Social Security will be on the chopping block. But what they will do, though, they're not going to say, oh, I'm going to cut Medicaid. No, they ain't going to do that. It's too obvious. They're going to put it on another dang program, right? And then they're going to cut funding from that program. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, these damn politicians is talking to y'all like y'all dumb. Some of y'all out there, for real. So now, back to Reagan. So Ronald Reagan promised law and order, right? Sound familiar? Tax cuts and family values, right? That's what he promised. Okay. So the Reaganomics, right? Slash a lot of federal and social programs, just like what's happening today. You know what I mean? A lot of programs that could help the poor and disenfranchised people. Huh? Think about it, right? When he talked to some people, oh, Reagan was the best president, right? That's what they used to say back in the day. The older generation. You understand me? But I guarantee, if you ask them, why was he the best president? They won't be able to answer that. I guarantee that. You know what I mean? Name three policies that were good for them, for the average American. They can't answer that. Okay, so now, and this right here, near and dear to my heart right here too, because I lived it, I see it, I saw this. The crack epidemic of the 1980s, man, devastated the black neighborhoods. I'm telling you, I remember as a young teenager, right, walking around in my neighborhood. I coming home from school, I'm seeing these little young drug dealers on the street corner, before crack came in, and guess what? The young drug dealers were just only selling marijuana. And then, around 1984 in Maryland, now 1984, when the crack started hitting our neighborhood in Maryland, those same weed sellers now graduated, start selling crack cocaine. Because first of all, it was more money into that, right? More money and more things. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't lying to me as a young kid, right? I didn't have nobody to look up to like that. I used to look up to the damn drug dealers. I did. You know what I mean? The next thing you know, Huh? I'm asking, hey, where's so-and-so? Guess what? He locked up. He got 5 to 10. On some petty drug crime. Got 5 to 10. That's what was happening back then. Right? And so, and Reagan did not make it no better. Right? The war on drugs brought militarized policing and mandatory minimum. Think about it. The war on drugs brought militarized. Huh. Man, hey, y'all see what's going on right now in LA with the damn Marines? With the Marines and the National Guard? Huh? I'm a retired vet. And as a vet, do you think I want to be out there deal with American civilian as a damn as a vet? No, right? I don't want to do that. I'd rather go over there. If I'm going to fight a war, go over there and fight war overseas with the real enemies. See what I'm saying? The war on drugs, just like I said, the war on drugs brought militarized policing and mandatory minimums, man. And one thing I hated when I found out about this, right? I found out about this like a few years ago. I was still a young kid, right? So, but I found out about this a few years ago, how he coined the term welfare queen. It was a rhetoric to demonize black single mothers, man. The welfare queen to demonize black single mothers. So all you Reagan supporters who love Ronald Reagan, he didn't love black people. I'm just being real right now. You know what I mean? To demonize black single mothers. As a matter of fact, I was reading this book called Queen. And it was about this lady, and she did it for the government when it comes to welfare. That's all. That's why he coined the phrase welfare queen. She did. But what he did, though, he lied on the numbers, right? This woman only stole like $2,000 worth of stuff in welfare fraud, right? But he talking about this woman stole millions of dollars and having people believe in that nonsense, which was a daggone lie. Lying on this damn woman, the black woman. Man, that phone keep ringing. Lying on these daggone black women, right? Crazy to me. So the black community faced a lot of economic abandonment and over-policing, even till this day. The black community over-policing. You know what I mean? So I'm saying? So the Democratic Party, right, like I said, 94% in the 60s, right, for Lyndon B. Johnson. But in the Reagan era, kind of went down slightly. You know what I mean? Because Reagan, when I was reading this one book, Reagan was able to get some black votes, right? And he actually went to New York, to Harlem, New York, to really get some black votes. He did. So he got 9% of the black votes. And 91%, and Walter Mondale. Because I remember this, at the time I was 13 years old, I remember this damn election. Reagan vote versus Mondale, right? And he got 91% of the black vote. But you know what I mean? Reagan still won. Reagan won, right? Reagan won. But it's, at the same time, though, it was still a shift, though, when it comes to black folks and the Republican Party and how, you know what I'm saying, they wasn't doing right by black people. I'm not saying the Democratic Party is perfect. They're not perfect. I get it. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying the reason why, you know, a lot of black folks tend to vote Democrat in today's time. And it probably ain't going to end up switching, right? You know what I mean? I'm a firm believer. If the Republican get it after this Trump administration, right, within the next couple national elections, if the Republican could get the right leadership for the Republican Party, I really believe a lot more black people will switch back to the Republican Party. I believe that. They just need a right lead. It's all about leadership, man. And if you're not talking my language, you know, I'm not going to vote for you. See what I'm saying? Now, let's go back. Let's go into 1992 now. The LA riots and George H.W. Bush and Clinton and the riot of Bill Clinton. I'm going to tell you right now. The LA riots was partially the reason why George Bush lost that election and why Bill Clinton became president because of that riot. So, right, in 1991, Rodney King's beating caught on video. Some bystanders, thank God, man, thank God. Some bystanders, a bystander was recording, you know what I'm saying, on the camcorder. You know, think about it, we got phones now, but people had camcorders back then, right? Was recording to them, recording the beating. And you know what, though? And what pissed us off when these all-white jury, I think it was all-white, acquitted these cops. You know what I'm saying? They acquitted all these damn cops. You know what I'm saying? Officer acquittals sparked the L.A. riots. I remember that, man, watching that on TV. Because black people was fed up. You know what I mean? Like, we can't get no justice in America when things happen to black folks. There ain't no daggone justice. You know, every time these police officers keep getting off, whenever they hurt an unarmed black man. It always happens, all the time. So at that time, black people were really upset. Okay? That's why they took to the streets. Because they got fed up of that. You know? The only thing about I don't like when it comes to a lot of these things, when they got to destroy the daggone property, man. I don't think that's cool. Can't destroy, you know what I mean? I have nothing to do with nothing, but you come to my place of business and you're destroying my damn business that I work hard for to build. It ain't right. Right? And sometimes things that kind of mess up too when it comes to a lot of these riots, these protests. A lot of times, it'd be the ones that really caught the trouble, it'll be people that don't live in that area. Will come there to do damage. That's not right, man. They're right. So, during when the riot started, right, George Bush, his response was detached. Just like his son. When his son was president and 9/11 happened, all right? Well, don't forget 9/11. When Katrina happened, and he moved slow, right? And he moved slow to really respond, you know what I mean? Because a lot of black and brown people lost a lot of this stuff. And when Kanye West said, George Bush don't like black people, you know what I mean? That's when people loved Kanye West back then. Crazy, that's not a story though, right? So, Bill Clinton, right? He actually rebranded the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, right? He did. You know what I mean? But at that time, you know what I mean? People did love Bill Clinton at that time. They really did. You know what I mean? And Clinton appealed to a lot of black voters via the pop culture and reform promises, right? Because even me as a young man, back then, 20 years old, and I'm seeing Bill Clinton on the Arsenio Hall show. I've never seen a president on a black television show. I've never seen that. But at the time, I'm 20. I thought Bill Clinton was cool as hell for doing that. Coming on the Arsenio Hall show at that time. But that was back then, though. You know what I mean? Things changed. Yeah. And we all know what he did. The 94 crime bill. Let's talk about that. We ain't gonna talk about it, but look it up. The 94 crime bill. So, right? So Bill Clinton did get 83% of the black vote versus George Bush got 10% of the black vote, right? So, slowly but surely, the numbers actually did go down. And I really believe the reason, probably the reason why, two, a lot of black people that were supposed to eligible to vote didn't come out to vote. That's why. That's why the numbers went down a little bit. So now, right, after that, today, and the future of ICE and the Latino power and demographic. Trump empowered ICE, leading to family separations and mass deportations, right? So it doesn't matter, as a human being. And yeah, look, I'm a foreigner, so I can speak on this too. You know what I mean? I came to this country the legal way. Of course, I don't want to see nobody here illegally, especially if they're criminals. Let's be honest, we don't want that nonsense. no criminal, but as a human being though, right? When you're seeing families being separated, you know what I mean? Kids being separated from their families. You understand me? That's, you're going to feel a way about that. You know what I mean? Latino community began mobilizing politically, right? Young Latinos support progressive policies. Latinos are a growing force in swing states right now. Latino voters mobilizing efforts and have surged, right? So now, they're going to be, I really believe they're going to be a switch when it comes to the Latino voters, right? Latino voters. So let's do some numbers right here. So in 2016, Bill Clinton got 66%. Hillary Clinton got 66% of the Latino voters, and Trump got 28%. 2020, Biden got 65%, and Trump got 32%. See how those numbers were going up? In 2024, Harris got 61%, and Trump got 36%. 36%. So let's talk about that 36%, right? So y'all see what's going on over there with these all the riots and how Donald Trump, right, is targeting racial profiling the Latino people, racially profiling them right now. Because when he ran on the campaign, right, on the campaign trail, first of all, he ran on the price of eggs, which putting this man into office, it was never about the price of fare. I don't care what nobody say. It was not because of the damn economy, because they did not want a black woman to be president. Yeah, I'm saying it. They did not want a black woman to be president. I'm just saying it right now. Yeah, right? All right? They do not want a damn black woman to be president. That's how I feel. Okay? So, like I said, Trump got 36% of the vote. So, like I said, you see what's going on in LA right now and those protests that's going on. I have a feeling within the next two election cycle, I have a feeling it's going to switch. You know what I mean? I have a feeling, you know, Florida is Trump country. They love Donald Trump in Florida. See what I'm saying? But I have a feeling Florida is going to end up turning blue. I have a strange feeling it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Because they're starting to realize that Trump don't lie to them. Talking about, yeah, they're going to get the criminals. I think y'all going to be safe. Y'all going to be safe. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. I'm going to keep calling me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, man. Thinking that y'all going to be safe. And just because, you know what I'm saying, you are here doing, you working, and all the good stuff, that y'all going to be safe. But nah. You know what I mean? The damn Tom Holman, he's getting everybody, if he are illegal, he's getting everybody out of here. Get everybody out of here. All right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do some stats real quick. All right? I'm doing some stats real quick. Hold on a second. Yeah. So now let's talk about some voting stats, right? For black voters. So 1936, Democrats 24% of the vote. Republican 76% of the vote. 1936. In 1964, Democrats, 94% of the black, these are black votes now, 94% of the black votes versus 6%, right, Republican. So look at a big old shift from 1936 to 1964, right? Big. Wow. Because black people were starting to get fed up of the Republican Party. 1984, Democrats, 91%. Republican, 9%. 1992, Democrats 83%, Republican 10%, 2020, 87%. Republicans, 12%. 2024, Democrats, 86% of the black vote. Republican, 13% in 2024. So now, for the Latino vote, right? I only did from 2016 on up. So in 2016, right? Latinos for Democrats, 66%. Republican, 28%. 2020, Democrats for Latinos, 65%. Republican, 62%. In 2024, Democrats, Latinos, 61%. Republicans, 36%. Okay? 36% of the black votes for the Republican Party. So just like I said, let's see what's going on right now. And this is my prediction. My prediction that the Latino vote, they're going to switch more to the Democratic side within the next two cycles. You know what I mean? Because right now, and sometimes I feel this way too, that because right now we are the lesser minority right now of black people. Right? Because America right now had 19% Hispanics. 19%. And about in the next 20, 30 years, the number is going to rise a lot more. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That's why they're trying to get rid of them. Because they know the number is going to rise in about 20 years. Come on, think about that. Well, I think they're doing the best to try to get rid of them right now. And Donald Trump trying to get deport as much as they can because they know, right? Pretty soon, in the next 30 years, man, it's prediction that they're going to be 45% Hispanics in America. You know what I mean? That's very neck and neck to white folks. See what I'm saying? And we as black people, I'm telling you, we will be an afterthought when it comes to this politics stuff, right? But that don't mean we must give up. You know what I mean? We shouldn't give up at all. We should still fight for our right to make sure our voices are heard, no matter what. So, Latinos are the largest minority voting bloc, right? With over 32 million eligible voters as of 2024. Think about it, 32 million eligible voters, right? It's projected to reach 35 to 40 million, by 2028. Swing states like Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and Texas will be heavily influenced, right, by the Latino vote. Think about it. Arizona, high Hispanic population. Of course, Georgia, Nevada, definitely high. And of course, Texas, you know what I mean? It's definitely heavily, highly influenced by a lot of Latino voters. And it's coming. You know what I mean? It's coming where it's not going to be the black people that's going to decide the outcome of a vote after an election. It's going to be the Latinos. They're coming. It's coming. Right? So far, right? It could change one day. But so far, the Latino youth lean strongly Democrat. Democratic, right? The young Latino people, right? For now, they're the most Democrat voters right now. You know what I mean? It's a lot of times their parents, a lot of them vote a lot of Republicans. You know what I mean? Because I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of times they think they could get a seat at the table when they should be sticking with us. Because we know as black people, we know difference. We know different. So without immigration reform, the GOP risks losing future generations. And I'm telling you right now, if the GOP lose a lot of numbers from the Latino voters in a lot of places, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a long time before the Republicans have power. I guarantee. You know what I mean? Because even with the black people right now voting Democrat and then the Latinos switch to, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Because they're watching on TV and they're seeing what happened to their people. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because a lot of them probably realize, you know, I voted for this man. and I messed up. I know they gotta realize that right now, that they voted for this man and they messed up. A lot of them do. They might not say it publicly, but I guarantee they do, because they're seeing what's going on with their people, man. If you have some kind of soul about yourself, some kind of humanity, you know what I mean? You're not gonna like what's going on. You see what I'm saying? Imagine ICE raising up in people's church. They're trying to praise the Lord, trying to praise the man above. And guess what? I just raid you right there. And I put you in handcuffs and take you away. No, that's crazy to me. All right? No, a Black Latino coalition could reshape American politics, right? Imagine Black people right now and Hispanic people stick together right now. Do you know? Oh, my goodness. Do you know that could shape American politics, right? If we stick together, that could really shape American politics. And whatever party we decide to use, whatever party we decide to go with, that party could be in power for the next 50, 60 years. I'm telling you, man. All right? So with all that being said, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.